Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Welcome to Cavs Podcast. Nate Smith. I'm here with Chris Francis. Eli Kim will be joining us shortly. Eve of free agency, June 30th. I believe the NBA calendar ticks over at midnight and it becomes the 2025-2026 fiscal year, at which time the Cavaliers are a second apron team and they are already showing signs
of
being dumb cheap asses. Basically, the Cavs made a decision between Ty Jerome and Sam Merrill, and they chose Sam Merrill. And the original story was that Ty Jerome was going to be a lot more money than they wanted to pay, like $15 million. And then he signed for literally the same number, 3 years, $28 million, with Memphis, that the Cavs signed Sam Merrill. And to me, the Cavs made a very poor decision. And then they stat washed it through Chris Fedor today, who was like talking about Ty Jerome's defensive numbers against Indiana, which were bad. But if there was any player other than Donovan Mitchell and maybe Max Strus that didn't play like crap for certain sections of that Indiana series, they aren't on the Cavaliers team because everybody had their moments of stinkitude. So, and yes, Ty Jerome had a 1-for-14 game, but the Cavs have taken a couple bad games and extrapolated it out to the entirety of his career. And Sam Merrill can't get his own shot, is not a ball handler, and you are already added Lonzo Ball, who, if he plays a playoff game, I will give you and Eli each $10 because he is made of glass and will not make it to the playoffs.
Oh, shit. I'm making money, like, right off the rip.
$10.
I'll buy you both, baby. Oh,
I'll buy you both a beer at a Cavs game. Yeah, no. Lonzo Ball ain't going to play a minute of playoff basketball.
This is NBA Christmas right now.
NBA Christmas. Yeah.
NBA Christmas right now. Let's go.
Yeah. I'm super irritated at the Cavs because the one thing you could say about the Cavs is, you know, they needed more ball handling and they got worse today with Ty Jerome going to another team. And frankly, they mismanaged that situation entirely. They sent Caris out because Ty Jerome was going to be the Caris LeVert replacement. Jerome had a bad series and then they dumped him. And now LeVert is going to the Cavs' rivals in the Pistons. Oh, and meanwhile, the Pistons have gotten markedly better. The Hawks have gotten markedly better. The Pacers are worse. Boston is worse. Orlando is much better. They have real point guards now. And I'm concerned about the Cavs. I think they are running this offseason the way they ran the playoffs against Indiana as entitled wieners who don't want to make bold statements and don't want to operate like winners. And I think they are taking a major step back as an organization and as a team, you know, today. I don't like the vibes this sends. You know, you sent this guy out of town, and then you signed a guy for the same number who's by almost every metric worse in Sam Merrill. And Sam Merrill has good moments. He fits well. He's, you know, Donovan Mitchell's buddy. But almost every impact stat before the Indiana series has Ty Jerome rated as a better player than Sam Merrill. And it just doesn't make sense to me. Make it make sense, Chris.
Oh boy! Wow. I feel like we should have a disclaimer that Ty Jerome didn't pay you.
Oh, but he didn't pay me.
You did that out of the love of the game right there.
Believe me, I pay for the privilege of having this podcast. I don't make money off. I mean, what little money we make on advertising, and it's a pittance, basically doesn't even cover the hosting costs. So. Okay, laugh it up, Fuzzball.
Oh my God, that is so good. I mean, I don't. So, Ty Jerome isn't worth all this spilled milk. I'm sorry.
I'm fine with that.
The thing that gives me pause. The only thing that gives me here's the thing. This is the way I see it. Like I told you both guys this before, and I'll say it now for live air, is that, you know, you talk about they're not willing to make bold moves, man. They just tried to trade for KD. They just tried to trade for KD.
Okay, that's like Danny Ainge's every year when he was with the Celtics. Oh, we almost made this trade.
No, until you actually make the move,
KD don't tell me what you almost did.
It was KD that shot.
Horseshoes and hand grenades, Chris. That's what almost counts in.
I'm just saying, like, you're trying to say that they didn't do anything. Like, no, they definitely, like, to me, what they've said, so they tried to get KD, and now they've chose Sam Merrill over Ty Jerome.
So like, what you're saying is they're tryhards.
So, no, what I'm saying
is that's literally, you just said they tried.
Hold on. Let me say it. You wanted to make sense of it. I'm making sense of it right now in numbers you can understand. Is that you look at the playoff stats, by far, like not even a question, they stick out like two sore thumbs. By far, the two worst defenders in the playoffs this past season were Ty Jerome and Darius Garland. Who were the two guys in trade talks, or who were the two guys immediately in a trade talk or a jettison for a pittance immediately from the squad? It was the two worst defenders in the playoffs. So I think there's a clear agenda that Kobe Altman is focused on right now, which is eliminate the defensive stinkers, the playoff defensive stinkers from your roster, is what the agenda is right now. So if you don't get Ty Jerome at your number, you're definitely letting him walk because he was useless in the playoffs.
He was not useless in the playoffs. He was.
Yeah, when he really. No, dude. They lost.
They lost. Yeah, but
he was prime. He had a perfect opportunity. Perfect opportunity because Darius Garland wasn't worth a shit. Perfect opportunity to step in and be the hero.
As if the Indiana series was the entirety of the playoffs.
No. Come on. You didn't do shit.
They whooped up on Miami.
Running out of his butt. He was pulling a Paul Pierce. You know, they needed to get a wheelchair for him. He was just dookieing all over the court six ways to Sunday.
Ty Jerome?
Yes. Come on.
He was good the last game.
No. Oh my God. For like two quarters when it didn't matter.
I have to go back and look at the numbers, but I
not
just
even a quarter. Not even two quarters. One quarter when it didn't matter.
I think the Cavs are overreacting to one bad series.
Maybe. That's a possibility, of course. But it's not worth like crying like, oh my God, the sky is falling. It's like they lost like a crappy defender who shit the bed in the second round. Who cares? You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying. I'm saying,
oh my God. Oh my God. I can't make it more clear for
you. Is the double the estimated plus minus last year of Sam Merrill. So double the impact, plus 2.5 to plus 1.2.
Who was the better defender? Who was the better playoff defender? Who was the better overall? Who had the better impact stats in the playoffs?
In the playoffs. Like I said, I'm talking about
the playoffs.
The entirety of the whole thing. One bad series, you're talking small sample size.
The only time it matters for the Cavs to play well is the playoffs. And when, who played better? Who played better? What is the impact stats? The very same impact stats you're crying about now. What do they say? Who played
better? I have no idea who played better. I'm only looking at the aggregate of their time with the Cavs.
It was Sam Merrill.
Okay.
Sam Merrill. And it wasn't even close.
I will say Sam Merrill played better defense in the playoffs.
That's how he won the job. That's the whole deal. He showed, like, Sam Merrill really didn't even shoot that well. You know? He was a mediocre shooter, but he was able to hold his own in the playoffs. He had a better defensive rating than Isaac Okoro. That's why Isaac Okoro hit the road, is because he couldn't even beat out Sam Merrill as a defensive specialist.
I don't think it matters. Here's the problem. Sam Merrill can't bring the ball up. Sam Merrill is not a guy who can get his own shot. He's not a finisher.
He's not a finisher, but he could definitely bring the ball up. And also, I think that what you're going to see is more Strus on the ball.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
I think it is a good thing.
Well,
he was awesome in the playoffs.
He was awesome in the playoffs. I will say that. I'm not going to argue with you there.
And think about it this way. You're the one that cries about get Jared Allen the ball. Get Mobley the ball. Get your bigs the ball. Taking away Ty Jerome allows for usage for other players.
Fair. But I still think they're going to miss him. I still think
I agree. I wanted him back, and I think it is curious. I'll agree with you. I definitely agree with you. It's a risk, A. And also, the big thing what I agree with you about is the price that he left at. It was only $9 million.
It was literally the same number as Merrill.
I think it was less, wasn't it?
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah, so at the pittance that it was, they should have paid. Well, my stance was they should have paid for both.
Absolutely.
My stance is, I would argue, is still correct because they could afford both. It's proven they could have afforded both.
Yeah, Sam was 4 years, $38 million. Ty Jerome was 3 years, $28 million. So the per-year number and total number are both bigger for Sam Merrill, which is impressive.
Yeah. He played defense in the playoffs.
$9.5 million versus 9 1/3.
Yeah. So they should have brought both back, you know?
Yeah.
And
they never should have signed Isaac Okoro to an extension last year.
Yeah, that was dumb. I mean, I don't know what that – I mean, that was just a favor, and that was a stupid favor.
They
did him 4 years worth of favors starting him, for God's sake.
Yeah. No, and it was totally because they never should have extended him a qualifying offer. Or they should have extended him a qualifying offer, but they should have said, you know, play for the tender offer.
Right. You know, no, exactly.
Become a free agent next year.
The tender offer was already more than what he was ever going to get on the open market.
Yeah. And you know, 1 year deal, prove it contract. If you play above your contract or at your contract,
I mean,
we'll pay.
It doesn't even matter because I like Ball as the pickup. I mean, like, that was a good pickup. Even if Ball has a 10% chance of playing, as you say, it's worth the 10% risk because Isaac Okoro is absolutely useless.
Oh,
like 100%.
Fair. 110%. These things in a vacuum are different, but I don't think Ball's going to give them anything. They compounded their bad decisions, and it just makes me mad. Like, if you had a time machine, would you go back still and trade Karis for DeAndre Hunter?
Now, that's tough because I like Karis, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, DeAndre Hunter was one of the guys who flopped in the playoffs.
He had some good games, but...
I mean, overall, you got to examine the whole body of work, and the whole body of work leaves you wanting.
Yeah.
I'll cut him some slack in terms of he's not completely unplayable, I don't think.
No, and he had decent games.
So he's a halfer. So he's a half, like, you consider him a half playoff gamer. So essentially what you have is a roster with, like, basically five or six truly playoff gamers. Five and a half to six and a half.
Depending on how Jalen Tyson,
CPJ,
Naquin. I'm not counting on Naquin Tomlin for anything. But
it's really just about, no. What's clear is they sent the message earlier in the just before free agency kicked off that it's CPJ, basically. Like, this is the promotion. Like, he actually acquitted himself. I mean, like, all the same metrics showed that he deserves this shot, essentially.
No, I agree with you.
You know, he deserved Ty Jerome's role, essentially. So well, this is what we're going to find out.
Well, we're going to find out. They still need another guard now.
Well, they drafted one.
Well, okay.
And gave him a contract. So
they rostered him at the 48th pick, and they gave him they rostered him.
Yeah,
which good for him. And also, I don't know if you saw the news today. Money Money is they did not tender him a qualifying offer. Now, does that mean he won't be back? I'm not sure. But I
know that was I mean, like, you know, because you I mean, he just hadn't improved enough.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, when we come back, we will have Eli Kim on the podcast, and he can also tell me how wrong I am. So. Welcome back to Cavs Podcast. I'm Nate Smith. I'm here with Chris Francis. The incomparable Eli Kim has joined us. And we're just talking Ty Jerome, free agency, Cavaliers. Before you joined, I did this big long rant about how the Cavs are making terrible decisions and it's institutional loserism. And Chris rose up and swatted me like Dikembe Mutombo, with, you know, telling me Sam Merrill's the better defensive player and that's why the Cavs chose him. Chose to keep him, and we both said they wouldn't be in this position if they hadn't signed Isaac Okoro to an extension, but Chris likes Lonzo Ball, so who's right here? What should the Cavs have done? Should they have paid both those guys, or should they have chosen Merrill over? Merrill actually got paid more in total and per year than Ty Jerome. Does that shock you, Eli?
That does shock me, and part of the thing I don't get is I think the Cavs should have been patient. They should have waited for the first couple of days of free agency to see the complete market, because my sense is they were probably told that Jerome was going to get something bigger than this, and that's probably when they panicked and kind of put all these other moves in motion. Also, it probably would have given the Cavs opportunity to probably bring back Ty and Sam. Maybe at a combined number that's less than what they're both getting now, you know. So I think the Cavs might have acted too rashly, but I also think that Sam Merrill was definitely more of a Atkinson player, and I think Ty Jerome was – I think he fit, but at the same time, I think the Cavs organization clearly laid out who they valued more because their actions spoke louder than what they were saying.
Well surmised, or well summarized, I guess. The other, and Eli agreed with you, not Eli, Chris agreed with you around Sam Merrill. I'm not a fan of the Ball trade, as you know, just because I think he's made of glass. The only advantage that it gives the Cavs is it gets the temptation to play Isaac Okoro out of the Cavs' mind, which is good. And the other thing that Chris noted was that Sam Merrill, as a guard, is probably going to allow the Cavs' bigs to play more because Ty Jerome, especially in the playoffs, obviously against Indy, stole a lot of shots from the Cavs' bigs. And the Cavs have – I will say one problem with the Cavs is they have too many chuckers at guard, you know, between Merrill – or between Garland and – Mitchell and Jerome, like, they need to up the passing to the bigs. And maybe this is a step towards doing that. I don't know. Eli, what do you think of free agency for the Cavs so far?
I mean, there's nothing to talk about. I do think some of these bigs are getting contracts that are interesting. Like, you know, Plumlee getting above the minimum was interesting to me.
Capella getting that number. Yeah. What do you get? 3 for 21? Capella? Something like that. Yeah.
Looney got 2 for 16. Like, those are some big numbers. I still think, Nance is out there. Boucher is out there. Horford's still out there, so there's still some veteran guys that the Cavs can get. For sure.
I would love Boucher. I would love Horford, but you know the Cavs can only sign guys on the veteran minimum, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think the Cavs. I think it's really interesting to see. Like, I mean, we'll talk into this later, but I think the East is open, and all these Eastern teams are making big moves, smart moves to you know try to compete in this wide open conference next year. So. It's interesting to see that kind of flurry of activity while the Cavs kind of remain patient. So,
yeah, but not patient, as you noted earlier, right?
Yeah, they blew their wad early, but now they're just sitting tight.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Who do you think, and I'll go to Chris, who do you think improved themselves most in the last week in the Eastern Conference? And I've got mine, but I want you to... throw it out there first.
Oh, to me, it's Orlando. Like, Orlando is a bona fide contender, I think.
Yeah, who did they add?
Desmond Bane.
And?
Oh, I don't know. Did they add a
Jones? Tyus Jones.
Tyus Jones, yeah, okay. So they added exactly what they needed. They added exactly what they needed. So I'm going to take Orlando.
Yeah, I think those are two great pickups for them. And the other team that legit scares me a little bit is Atlanta. And it's mainly because I think the combination of Dyson Daniels and Nickel Alexander Walker are going to be terrorizing to play against because those guys are both just steel machines and deflection machines, and they're going to be really difficult. I do feel like the NAW getting picked up by Atlanta helps maybe the cause for trading Garland to Minnesota because now they're another guard down. But I don't know. Eli, who do you think helped themselves the most in the last week?
I think it's probably in the East. I think it's the Hawks and Magic, like you guys said. In the West, I actually think maybe the Mavericks. I think they're quietly making some good moves.
I agree.
I don't like D'Angelo Russell that much, but obviously drafting Cooper Flagg, kind of.
Really well, and they're gonna not be with Kyrie for a year, so they got a guy that can play either guard spot, right?
Yeah.
Or not a year until like January, they said.
But I think the Rockets. I think the Rockets had a great offseason.
Oh, the Rockets are ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, adding DFS, getting KD.
Did you hear that story about DFS and Rob Pelinka and everything?
No, I want to hear this.
Did you hear about it, Eli?
No, I didn't.
No. Oh my God. So I guess in negotiations or something, like something fell apart in negotiations between DFS and the Lakers. And like DFS is Luka's best friend, by the way. So I guess it needs to be contextualized that way too. DFS is like Luka's best friend. I guess the negotiations went bad or sour or whatever, and he was hitting free agency. Well, I guess Rob Pelinka tried to start a rumor that his knee was totally cooked. To all the front offices across the league. And it got back to DFS and his agent. And that's why he hit free agency and refused to sign with the Lakers again.
That is crazy. And, I just Googled that story while you were talking, and there isn't anything that didn't match what I just read. So... and honestly, who I think has had the worst offseason, what the hell is going on with the Lakers? Like, they did that. They lost DFS. LeBron's making weird. I'm going to sign in, but I'm looking around. We can segue that to what I've been on about for the last day and a half.
Here we go, baby.
Was that the Cavs should have traded Garland and parts for LeBron today. They can't do it tomorrow. because once tomorrow hits, they can't aggregate for a bigger contract. But it's, you know, we still got 3 hours. Maybe it'll happen. You heard it here first, folks. But yeah, that whole LeBron deal and then Luka, like, who are they going to put with him? They don't have, they lost their best player in free agency. They have their mid-level. Like, boy, Jeannie Buss pulled the ripcord at the right time. Nothing?
I think it's more about Pelinka. I think it's more about Pelinka going. Oh. Like, I think he... I think this story leaking is maybe like precipitating his ouster by the end of. I don't know, man. It'd be interesting if he gets fired. Like the speculation is that the new ownership wants their own guy, because like the Lakers ownership got, you know, the new ownership
Mark Walter.
Yeah, he's a serious owner. Like he runs an actual a sports organization, sports entertainment organization. So the Lakers clown show front office is over with. So, and Pelinka might be the last man standing in that regard.
Reigning GM of the year.
No way. Oh my God.
For the Luka trade, Luka. Right? Yeah.
No, he's not. I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Who was GM of the year?
Presti?
Presti, I thought.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right.
Let me see. Hold on 1 second.
Ooh, hot Googling.
It's Sam Presti. You're right. And deservedly so for just like quanting the NBA draft for the last 5 years.
Quanting? What the hell is that?
You don't know what quants are? Quantitative analysis gurus, like just stats guys. They have those in finance. They're called quants. It's really like an 18-year-old term. I'm sure nobody uses it anymore. There was a lot of quants involved in the financial collapse of the late 2000s, and you know, anyway, that they were more respectable than crypto bros who were just operating on vibes. So, anyway,
okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
pretty good. What I got from that was like the movie Wall Street or whatever, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, or well, Wolf of Wall Street and. God, what's the one with Brad Pitt and Michael Scott?
Oh, The Big Short?
The Big Short, yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking more like The Big Short. Those kind of guys. So, anyway. Yeah, no, I mean, Sam Presti killed it, right? Like, he made the draft incredibly boring. He made it basically Oklahoma City controlled the draft for 4 or 5 years, right? And now he's reaping the rewards. So he should be GM of the year. He's effective, boring, and effective.
It only took trading away 3 MVP generational players to do it. Wow.
Matt, there's been a lot of teams that have done the same thing and done far worse. So, like, if you're going to do it, he did it right. Like, that's not a guarantee. I'm not talking up Sam Presti because I want to. I personally can't stand Oklahoma City, but he deserves a trophy. So, anyway. You know who doesn't deserve a trophy? What the hell are the Warriors doing? Like, I just don't understand. Like, we don't...
Light years.
Like, oh, well, unless we're bowled over by a Kuminga deal who doesn't fit your team at all... We're going to keep him. Like, you're going to play the trade game and the whole non-devalue game while, you know, how many more years of Steph being a guy that can win a playoff series do you have? Or are they just selling tickets at this point? That was a question. Are they just selling tickets at this point in Golden State?
Is Eli still eating?
I'm sure he is. Yeah, what is on the menu?
No, I'm good. I'm back.
Oh, cool. Oh, also, earlier when I said KFC, I meant Korean fried chicken.
I know. Just so you know. I knew that.
What was on the menu, Eli?
I had a little Caesar salad and a shrimp
po' boy.
Nice. Where's the shrimp po' boy from?
Myself.
You just whipped yourself up a little shrimp po' boy, a little remoulade?
Well, I'm in the process of moving, so I'm clearing out the freezer. I got a bunch of frozen shrimp.
Oh, is the move down south imminent?
Not yet. Just consolidating.
You're living off your stores, off the cash. Raiding the pantry.
I'm trying to sell my place and then consolidate with the missus, and then we'll make another sale next, probably end of this year, early next year.
The missus, wow. Has there been an announcement that I haven't heard?
Sorry, premature. The lady.
The lady? Okay. Okay, I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, bud.
No, put him on the spot. We need to win this boy.
I do need all the info towards the destination. But it's nothing but love. I just want you to know that.
I appreciate it.
Well, when we come back, we will have more news about Eli's future and his love life. And maybe we'll talk basketball.
Love Island, NBA edition.
Welcome back to Cavs Podcast. Elijah Kim, Chris Francis, I'm Nate Smith. We're talking NBA free agency. While we were looking, a bought out Jordan Clarkson pledges to join the Knicks in the offseason on a minimum deal. Sixers add Trenton Watford. Gersan Yabusele not going to resign with the Sixers. Knicks, Lakers.
There's a target right there. Would he sign for the minimum to chase a ring?
Who?
Yabu.
Yabusele? Oh, yeah. No. He wants to get paid. He's going to whoever's going to. I think he's going to end up a Spur.
Ooh.
Gosh. That was the rumor.
That would be a great move.
They signed Cornette today.
I know. To a big contract, too.
And then 40. Nuggets, Lakers, and Knicks looking to sign Al Horford. And I saw the Cavs mentioned as interested, and I'm like, the Cavs can only pay the vet minimum, and Al Horford's going to make more than that. So, Taurean Prince back to the Bucks. I think the big ones we talked about: Luke Kennard to Atlanta, along with Nikola Alexander-Walker. We talked about what we didn't talk about was the Denver trade, Chris. You loved their moves, right?
Caught me with my mouth full of Cheetos. Thanks.
What are you guys doing? This is we're supposed to be professional here. We're literally making tens of dollars on this podcast.
I just spit them out all onto my table.
Well, now you got an orange table.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks.
And making just means covering the cost of most. Right? I know you love the Denver moves.
Yeah, I mean, like, they dumped MPJ's contract onto the Nets. They did have to pay a premium pick. They paid a 2032
unprotected.
Unprotected.
And everybody's like, oh, yeah, that will be the wasteland years after Jokic is gone.
Yeah, who cares? I mean, like, the Earth might end before then anyway. So, like, this is – you're maximizing Jokic's prime, which is now, today, and you only had to pay one first round pick to get off a horrible contract with MPJ.
No, and, who has turned into one of the weirdest head cases in the NBA.
Yeah, and because you saved so much money on that deal, now you're back under the tax apron or something. So now you have the access to the non-apron, or you have the access to the maximum mid-level.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, and they reacquired Bruce Brown.
Right. Exactly.
Who was great for them in their playoff?
Exactly.
Run.
And then took
the big money and stunk everywhere else he went. Exactly. He didn't want to leave, but he wanted to get paid.
He took a sign and retire until I need a ring chase.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Well, I did want to ask you guys a question. Did you think I was just absolutely nuts when I was saying that the Cavs should try to trade for LeBron today? It's okay to say yes.
Nuts, but I just don't get it.
From why the Cavs would do it or what's going on with LeBron or any of it.
I kind of don't get both sides, because I think if LeBron really wants to be a contender, he would have declined the option and found a better situation or control his own path.
Yeah, but he wants money, right?
Well, but that's the thing. The Lakers were not a second apron team, so they could have sent him out on a big-ass sign-and-trade and then hard-capped themselves at the second apron and take back, you know, less than... Like, there was just a much easier path for him to get paid and also go somewhere else.
Yeah, it's such a weird situation. I think LeBron probably is trying to assert some control here. Same kind of situation, like Rob Pelinka is not running the Lakers anymore. Maybe that's what it is, and he's trying to, you know, mark his territory. But yeah, it's a really odd situation. I wish the Cavs would have done it. I honestly think LeBron would make a lot of sense for both teams, for Garland to get an off ramp, although they'd flip him because Garland doesn't make any sense with Luka. But LeBron actually would solve a ton of problems for the Cavs. You've got a three who can actually rebound with bigs behind him who can defend. He gives you some playmaking. The Cavs are deep enough that he doesn't have to play a ridiculous amount of minutes. You can save him for the playoffs. It kind of made sense all the way around, but I don't think I, from what I heard from Wendy, and you heard that Wendy podcast, right, Eli?
Yep.
It kind of caught everybody in the NBA off guard. LeBron's comments like, oh, LeBron wants a trade. Well, okay, but we're not really prepared to deal with that, right? Like, everybody already has their plans in motion when free agency starts, and that was like a wrench nobody was ready for, right? I don't know. What do you think?
No, I like that theory right there. I mean, like, you know, he's an attention hog, so that's why he moved to LA.
Yeah, and that's why I thought the move back to the Cavs would be like, oh, LeBron gets the story of the Eastern Conference.
Exactly,
again,
a storybook ending. Yeah, no, I mean, but the fact that, you know, I think that's how, you know, our brilliant mind, Eli Kim, laid out, you know, then the decision making doesn't make any sense then. If that was the agenda, then the decision making doesn't make any sense.
Well, and I don't think Savannah wants any part about being back in Ohio, so.
I don't think they care about it. Well, I think, well, the article about that was that she wants him to retire.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, I could see them, you know, wanting to come back and do one, you know, retirement tour with the Cavs.
I think that would make all the sense in the world, and then, you know, run for governor. So
there you go. There you go. Couldn't do worse.
I think,
which is sad.
If he wants to come back to the Cavs, he should do it on a minimum contract for a while.
There you go.
Eli always looking to maximize value.
Speak on it, Eli.
That would be the ultimate farewell tour, and he could go out on top.
But then Gilbert could give him like a sweetheart deal, because Gilbert's looking to sell 15% of the team. Maybe he puts that in a blind trust for LeBron or something.
There you go. We're cutting deals here, bro.
Absolutely.
Maybe that is the deal. Maybe Gilbert had to say that before LeBron posted this so that he could start things in motion. So it's not like collusion.
There we go.
Oh, look at that. Yeah.
There we go. There's levels to this.
Okay. Here is, so that notwithstanding, which I don't think that's going to happen in the next 2 hours, what are some moves the Cavs can make that they should make? Once they are a second apron team, like we're talking minimum contracts and you can only trade guys for guys making less and you can't aggregate your own players.
Yeah. I think what they got to do is make sure they get a third big that can play at the four and the five, and,
or at least can shoot enough that he can play with Allen.
Yeah. So I think it's simple. There's three skills we're looking for, and the perfect fit does two out of three. Okay.
Well, the ideal fit does all three, but good enough is two out of three. Yeah, correct. I'm with you. And
one is shooting threes. 2 is rebounding. And 3 is being tall. I don't know. Like, it's pretty simple. Like,
yeah.
Just be a plus, like a decent size.
Don't be a turnover machine.
And unfortunately, I think a lot of people want Larry Nance, but he's like never healthy. And he's kind of short.
Yeah.
Can he rebound? Yeah. But he's not going to bang.
He's not anybody. A great rebounder.
Yeah. And then like Boucher, I think checks a lot of that, but he's not like a physical intimidator. So,
well, and I think he's like a lot of almost 33 now. Like he's 32, yeah. I think.
Yeah. And I think Horford does make a lot of sense actually, but I just don't see, like you said, Nate, I think some team would pay more than the minimum and that would eliminate the Cavs.
Yeah, I'm with you. I also think the Cavs need another guard. Just given the fact that they always have injured guards. Garland's going to be injured to start the season. Ball has an injury history. There were some guys I liked. DeLon Wright, which I liked last year, and had some decent moments for the Knicks. Not a bad guy on a vet minimum. Chris, anybody out there for you?
I mean, for me, it's more about trying to find someone to trade DG to. You know?
I can't think of a ton of teams. Like, Phoenix actually would make sense. But I don't want to take... but it would have to be within the next 2 hours. And what's his name's got a no-trade clause. Bradley Beal. Yeah. Like Minnesota, the Jaden McDaniels and Dante DiVincenzo deal, I would do that.
That's the example right there. You know what I mean? Like basically it's about finding a trade partner for DG, but you know you're going to get two lesser thans in the deal, but theoretically still guys who can play in the playoffs, at least defend in the playoffs.
Yeah, and shoot.
Defend and shoot, exactly. Defend and shoot, and you're just going to burden Mobley and Mitchell more with the playmaking responsibilities. You're basically going to run – they're going to run the entire offense, essentially, one of the two in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Which is fine, I think.
Exactly.
I think the OKC Thunder created that floor – you know, that blueprint. It was Jalen and SGA, and that's all they needed.
Yeah,
I was going to make, because Nate said something at the very beginning of the podcast, which resonates now, which is there's, I think, been a shift of like, well, somebody from my group chat, NBA group chat, made the joke that essentially what NBA teams are now like shifting towards is doubling down on defense and not worrying if they have the ball handling or passing or playmaking. You know, they're just selling out on defense and living with transition offense, essentially, where you don't need a point guard or a machine, you know, a heliocentric offensive machine to run your offense.
Yeah, everything's turnover. It's all high risk, high reward.
And
breakneck pace.
Yep, exactly. So I think with that, so it'll be interesting because I think there is a theory, you know, like you zag when everybody zigs. So, you know, like I get like having, you know, DG, you know, keeping DG and also especially since you lost Ty, keeping DG. But then do you explore, you know, like to me it's about, you know, do you want to explore and expand CPJ's role and explore trades for DG?
Well, and here's the other thing. Do you trade DG now or you trade him before the trade deadline? I think arguably, you know, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. It made more sense for the Cavs to make that trade before they hit the second tax apron. But now it's like... A trade I would consider now is DG for Cam Johnson. Cameron Johnson. Sorry. of the Nets and, you know, get out of the second apron and just move forward and get some picks and move forward.
Cam Johnson's gone.
Yeah, that's why I said Cameron Johnson.
What?
There's two Cameron Johnsons on the Nets. There's Cameron Johnson and Cam Johnson.
No. That's Cam Thomas.
Ah, I'm an idiot.
And what are you talking about? They're totally different players, too.
Well, yeah, and Cam Thomas just got traded. Oh, shit. Okay, I got it all wrong. Never mind. Just
what? Yeah, exactly.
I'm an idiot.
No. Yeah. Way to discredit yourself.
Come I'm just going to go rewind and edit this out of the podcast. It never happened. Sorry. Name aphasia. Wow. A tradition like no other on Cavs podcast. Yeah. Sorry. I was wrong there. But I don't know. I don't know what to do with Kyrie. I mean, there's not a lot of options out there to me. I don't understand what the Bucks are doing. The Bucks just re-signed Kevin Porter Jr.
Taurean Prince. Yeah.
And Kevin Porter Jr. Like literally the guy that lost them the series against Indiana.
Are we getting Giannis? Is Eli? Is that what you're saying, Eli? Are we getting Giannis?
No, we're not getting Giannis. Why would you sign those guys if Giannis is leaving?
Brook Lopez is gone too.
Yeah, but why would you sign those guys if Giannis is leaving?
No, get Giannis.
No, I'm saying Milwaukee's keeping Giannis. They sign those guys because Giannis is staying, right? That's the only moves they can make. The Haslams are going to run that ship into the ground. What do you think, Eli? Is there any chance the Cavs could trade for Giannis?
I think it's a long shot. I think the only way it would be is if Giannis asked for it quietly. I think the one sneaky factor is that the Haslams are connected to Cleveland. And maybe Haslam does it because he wants to buy the Cavs eventually.
I don't buy that at all. Plus, the Cavs can't even trade for Giannis after midnight. He makes it
So what you're saying is we need a guerrilla marketing campaign to get Giannis
on and to change the CBA.
No, just the next 90 minutes. Let's just make it happen in the next 90 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, we better get off and post this podcast.
DG, Jared Allen, and a pick. Who says no?
The Bucks.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem. After midnight, the Cavs can't trade for Giannis because he makes more than anybody else on the team. So that ship has sailed unless they figure out a way. They'd have to get under the second apron first. So they'd have to trade Garland into space.
Oh, somewhere. I think they can with these moves is the rumor, actually, I think.
What's the rumor?
With all the moves that they're making, losing Brook, losing whoever, signing whoever, whatever.
No, but the Cavs can't make that trade, right?
Oh. No. I thought you can aggregate salaries if you're dumping into a non-second apron team.
I don't think so. No, you can't aggregate your own guys into a trade. You can. The other team can aggregate guys, but you can't. So you can't go get a guy making $54 million if your biggest contract is $50 million. Yeah, it's like you said. You need an MBA to understand the league's collective bargaining agreement.
No, but I think the trade could still get done. What you'd have to do is you'd have to trade out. If you trade
third
out
team,
Garland,
third team involved.
But yeah, you'd have to make a first trade to get it out of the second apron, and then make another trade to end up back in it, or hard capped.
Or the deal, if the deal gets you out of the second apron, you can do it.
Yes, that's what it is, Eli. Right. That's what it is, Eli. Thank you.
So I think technically you could do it for Giannis. I'm looking at it right now.
But it would be difficult.
It would be tough.
You'd have to spin off a bunch of guys, and then you wouldn't have a great team to put around him.
Yeah, but
let's see here. But I don't think that's happening anyway. I think they're going to keep Giannis on that team till he demands out. which he should now, just given how much they've mismanaged that team. But say, Lovey, like, they're so screwed by that Lillard injury.
They are, man. Wow.
Yeah, that totally hosed them. Because they can't trade him because he's still got a whole nut. He's got like $110 million left on his contract over the next 2 years, which is an insane number. Yeah, well, the other deal that was super weird was Duncan Robinson walking away from $20 million. That was fishy as hell. Does that make any sense, Eli? Have you guys heard anything around that?
I haven't heard shit.
Doesn't make sense, but I think he definitely does have a deal back to Miami that probably is over.
Yeah, like two for 22 or something.
Yeah, but it's probably over.
Yeah, they're just stretching it over 2 years. I think so, too, and I think all the other stuff about another team being interested is bullshit. Or that's his backup option, right?
Yeah, that was probably like agents working deals with the Heat to try to get more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, we got another commercial here, and then when we come back, we can talk about who's a contender now in the NBA. Welcome back to, excuse me, Cavs a podcast. Potential Cavs target, Gary Trent Jr., off the board. So he went back to the Bucks for $7 million. We were just discussing in the break whether we need how to bring Kevin Love home. And I think the discussion was Dean Wade for Kevin Love in a second. But I feel like that Dean Wade $6.6 million number being $2.5 million more than Kevin Love's contract kind of makes adding a second to that difficult.
You don't have to add a second because...
No, not the Cavs doing it. Eli wants a second from the Heat.
Yeah, absolutely, because he's only guaranteed for four.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't aware. When's the guarantee date?
I don't remember.
Interesting.
But it's sometime in the future, like probably July 15th.
Well, it's usually in the future. The past guarantee date doesn't do us any good. Okay.
Well, I think some of the players left... We got, Yabusele, Boucher, Trey Lyles, Larry Nance Jr.
I like a couple of those names. Trey Lyles? Give me that. Give me some of that.
What about Mo Wagner and...
Mo Wagner's going to get definitely. More money. No, Mo Wagner's going to get paid by Orlando.
I agree.
Mo Wagner's not going anywhere.
He shouldn't go anywhere, but...
No, man. He's great for Orlando.
I know.
He's the kind of player the Cavs need an enforcer.
I know. Yeah. You're right.
But they're not going to break up the Wagner brothers.
No, they're not.
They're going to be... Agree. Yeah. Not in this economy. Yeah. Anybody else on that list, Eli?
I mean, here's the thing is there's definitely two or three names right there off the rip. I mean, that would help the Cavs.
Yeah. You guys got any desire in who did Orlando's old guard got bought out? The little guy.
Cole Anthony.
Yeah. You guys got any interest there? No.
Tar-hole.
He's too short. Right?
Tar-hole. Yeah, exactly. Like the literal problem there, Kobe's trying to solve is the shitty defenders and
not enough size. Yeah. I like DeLon Wright for that reason, but
DeLon Wright makes a ton of sense.
The other name I heard was
Alec Burks.
Alec Burks, yeah.
I like Alec Burks.
Hey, he's Alec Burks old. Had three game winners in 21 games with the Cavs, so
yeah, and he got the first round pick.
What'd you say?
And he got the Cavs a first round pick that season.
Yep. He did, yeah. Yeah, who did they sign? Who did they draft with that pick?
Well, I don't remember.
I think it was one of the picks. Wasn't it one of the picks that went to Utah? I think it might have. Yeah, it was the pick that went to Utah. Yeah. Who did they draft? It was terrible. You were ripping them.
Agbaji.
It was such a terrible draft pick. probably one of the worst bet draft picks of the last 3 years.
Tari Eason was sitting right there.
Oh my gosh. And if you, anytime you can draft an undersized or an old wing who can't handle the ball, you got to do it.
Yeah. Who was the old wing rule?
Dylan Windler.
No. Who made
it was
Was it Tom or Dave?
It was the CTB. Or not CTB, it was the Fear of the Sword guy. The original Fear of the Sword guy. I can't remember his name.
I don't remember his name.
Yeah. He's the guy, he actually used to work for the plane dealer too for a while. Anyway. Okay, so who are your contenders in the East this year? Are the Cavs in that list, Eli? Eli has left the building, apparently.
No, the Cavs are on the list. By the way, that pick was for Dylan Windler.
Oh, okay. It was like the left. Yeah.
It was the we got it from the Kings, who had it from the Rockets,
which was like, and it was like the 28th pick or something, right?
Yeah, 26th pick, which it should have been Keldon Johnson. It was even tweeted that, and then remember it was Dylan Windler. But anyways,
oh yeah, what a stupid draft pick.
Well, I think Keldon Johnson's still in the NBA, so maybe that would have been better.
Not for long. He's headed for China next.
No, he's still on the Spurs.
Yeah, but he's not going to play, and he's not. And everybody hates, like, he's awful, dude. He's horrible. He's horrible for the Spurs. They basically are talking about how can they dump that contract before he ends up in China.
Yeah, I mean, he was terrible last year. Can't even deny it.
Yeah, well.
Anyways, are the Cavs contenders? Yes, they are. I still think the Cavs are the favorite in the East right now.
I would have said,
I mean, how could you not? They're only teams that I think pose. I mean, there are multiple teams getting better, so I think like the Magic and the Hawks are better. But the Cavs have continuity, and I think they're obviously the Pacers and Celtics aren't there, so I think they would feel confident and against all those teams with new players.
I mean, I agree pretty much. Although I'd say Orlando, formidable, and I'd say the Knicks are the favorites. So there, we've got hills to climb still. No one thinks that we're legit yet.
Can you guys hear me?
Now I can.
Now we can.
I was saying the Knicks are the favorite, right? They were in the Eastern Conference Finals.
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Betting favorites, but I would. I mean, to me, psychologically, yeah.
Yeah, I'm there. I don't love the Mike Brown hire, but or the Mike Brown interview.
Well, yeah, that's actually an interesting point. Like, they had their most successful season in a quarter century, and they dumped the coach. So there's something to be said for that, and also. Every time an organization dumps Thibodeau, they go to the shitter.
Yeah. Well, the other weird thing is like they haven't interviewed Johnny Bryant, which you would think they would. And then weren't the Cavs supposed to get an assistant from the Mavs, but that's still up in the air?
Yeah, the Cavs are trying to get Jared Dudley, but that's still.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super weird how it was a done deal and then it wasn't.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's not a done deal? I thought it was pretty much a done deal.
It was, and then it wasn't.
Yeah, everyone thought it was, but now he's interviewing with the Nuggets, and I think he's going to, like, the momentum is shifting towards that job.
The hell? Do you think Gilbert's cheaping out?
I think the other thing is he wants to be the top assistant, and he's not going to be that while the Cavs have Johnny Bryant, right?
Oh, that's true.
Who's the associate head coach. Right. So, right. You know, I mean, and I don't blame him for that. Like, that's what do. No, you should get the highest position you can.
Professional advancement.
Yeah, so, but it's weird. Okay, Chris, any, like... any, would you put Atlanta in the contender list, or do they have to?
Hell no. Why?
They're just interesting.
They're not even interesting. Why are we?
Oh, I think they're interesting.
I don't know. No, they're not interesting. Not at all. No.
It's Trey and a billion wings and an undersized center. A billion tall wings and an undersized center. It's basically the Rockets from last year.
So it's a poor man's Darius Garland with a bunch of wings. Okay, got it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I would take Trey over Garland in a vacuum, I think.
I wouldn't. Trey's the worst defensive player in NBA history, arguably. Him and Isaiah Thomas the Younger. Maybe Muggsy Bogues.
I mean, the Cavs have a history of liking those guys. So.
Kay Felder, Oakland Jesus, Killer Shrimp.
God, I loved him, man. He was great.
He was a. I wish. Did they have him and Taco Fall at the same time? Like, that would have been just the ultimate novelty act,
no.
Right?
No, Kay Felder was a throwback. Yeah, Kay Felder was a throwback name.
It wasn't that long ago. Maybe it was. It all blurs when you get to your fifth century or decade, whatever.
Freudian slip. Nate's exactly. An alien. Nate's exactly. An alien. Alert.
Okay, who's the contenders in the West? Obviously, OKC. You got to put Houston in that conversation. Are the Spurs a contender?
No.
I'm going to say yes. Eli.
I still think they're a year away.
Mavs.
No. Depends when Kyrie gets back.
Who?
No.
Depends when Kyrie gets back.
Okay. Yeah. Denver, right?
Yeah.
Denver helped themselves immensely.
Denver for sure.
Yeah, I'm putting them back into the conversation.
Yeah, they got the bad vibes off the team.
OKC for sure.
Yeah. LA Lakers.
They fell off.
They did.
I think they're worse off now than they were just now. Yeah.
I mean, I like Jake LaRavia a lot. I think he probably
the Demon Deacon. I knew we couldn't get through this podcast without Jake LaRavia mention.
I mean, I legit think he's good. I think he's probably it's not going to be a huge step off from DFS, in my opinion.
Seriously.
I agree with Eli.
DFS is so much of a better defender. Come on. Get out of here.
I would take LaRavia.
But I would say whatever Jake LaRavia is not as good as defense, but he probably playmakes and shoots better. He's a way better offensive player.
Yeah, but DFS was killing it in the corner three this year.
He's almost a decade younger.
Well, there is that. I don't believe in those kinds of theories. But is he a century younger?
Yeah.
The whole problem about the DFS thing is that you're not signing LaRavia to like play all DFS's minutes. You're exposing yourself for more Reeves and Hachimura, and that's why you're going to be worse off.
Yep.
Japanese Jordan.
Agreed.
I think that's why they're worse off. They still have that mid-level. I think they will. Oh, and they got Brooke Lopez, which helps, but he's a billion years old.
That's the Clippers.
Oh, it was the Clippers. Okay, my bad. Okay,
but
Clippers,
Ayton,
contender or
Ayton
no?
Looks to be a done deal, though.
Ayton to the lake. You're not selling me here.
Well, I don't think they're a contender at all.
No, and they had Jerome Woods already, so which is basically who Ayton is now.
Yeah. Got him.
Jerome Woods. Not even
Christian Wood.
Christian Wood. Jerome Woods was a safety for the freaking he was a safety for the Kansas City Chiefs, and I literally have, I'm staring at a signed football from him that's in my office. That's why I was thinking of Jerome Woods. Oh, my Lord. And he's older than me. So he's the first round pick of the 1996 NFL draft for the Chiefs. Oh my Lord. This is when the adult onset Alzheimer's hit, Nate.
I know. I'm
this
scared
podcast
for you.
Right here.
I'm scared for you right now. We I don't know if we need to burn this or send this to your medical care provider.
Yeah, the problem is I've been screwing up these names for the last 20 years, so you know it's just far for the how would you be able
deny
to tell
your claims? Oh shit.
Man clock confusion missile. I passed the test. Anyway, yeah. Christian Wood. Yeah, that Lakers team's going to be a disaster. There's just too many
and
guys.
Also, that... no on the Clippers, too. I don't know why we're discussing them either.
Well, I mean, they were really good last year.
Weren't they a first round out?
They were, but who did they lose to? Denver? Yeah. But also, just the West was stacked.
They should not have lost to Denver. Denver was awful last year.
Yeah, you're right. Minnesota. I would say contender. I don't know.
Yeah.
They need a point guard, though.
Borderline. They're borderline. They need. Yeah, you're right. You're right. They do. I agree.
Like, how much longer are you going to count on Mike Conley?
They need an adult in the room. They need an adult in the room.
Well, they have the adult. The problem is the adult is almost my age.
Exactly. Yeah. So you got Ant running around, not paying child support. You got Rudy Gobert on right-wing nut job conspiratard websites.
Oh, well, I'm shocked.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They need an adult in the room. They're a clown show, actually. Okay, I just talked myself out of it. No.
You talked yourself out of Minnesota.
Minnesota is a bunch of... When Julius Randle is the light of reason and you're on your team, you are lost cause.
Yeah, I can't argue with you. The Eli, any other contenders in the West? Golden State? Okay, well, obviously OKC.
Yeah.
Golden State?
There's, like, way too many.
Contenders or just question marks?
There's way too many contenders in the West.
I don't think there are that
many
contenders. I think there's really just...
How many contenders do you think there are in the West?
I think there's, like, at least five.
Well, you got the Thunder, Rockets, Nuggets, and then who?
I would say the Timberwolves and the Mavericks.
Wow, you throw those guys in? Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm...
you know what's happening is Eli is already a Dallasite right now. That's what's going on. Yeah. He's planting the seed.
He is already registered mavstheblog.com.
He has. And he has the Kyrie Mavs jersey. No, the split Mavs and Cavs.
Oh, yeah.
He's got
there you go.
The split Mavs and Cavs Kyrie jersey.
Custom made. He had it stitched in Hong Kong. Very good price.
No way. You guys are hilarious. I think those things actually did exist, though.
Oh, they did, yeah.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
Because Dan Gilbert, like, paid a bunch of money to China for those.
What about... So when does Mavs the podcast start, Eli?
Guys, do not worry. No matter where I live, I will always be a Cavs fan.
I will always root for a team whose nickname ends with ABS.
He just said that like how you break up with somebody, dude.
It's not you, it's me.
I know. What the hell is going on here?
Yes, they're so
funny.
Oh
my gosh. Oh my god. I bet your favorite hockey team is the Avs.
No.
Are you a hockey fan at all, Eli?
No, not at all. You know, the one team we actually didn't talk about were the Grizzlies.
Really?
Yeah, I think they signed Jaren Jack to an extension and Aldama.
Yeah, and they got rid of their second best player. Desmond Bane is gone, though.
They replaced him with Ty Jerome.
Yeah, they replaced him with Ty
glass ankle Jerome.
And this is where Chris, I'm just going to quote everything Chris said at the beginning of the podcast, that he can't defend anybody.
Yeah.
And just go from there. Has no left hand.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. He's a chucker. No, Desmond.
He really sucks at defense, though.
Who?
Ty. For being like that tall, it's kind
of
like.
Oh, well, the part of the problem with Ty is the Cavs let him get away with playing shitty, go for steals all the time defense in the regular season, and they didn't coach him back to good defense in the playoffs. Like, so many of the Cavs' problems against the Knicks.
We're just regular season merchants. That's what the bottom line is.
Well, and that's Ty Jerome, right?
It is. You're right. Exactly.
Okay. Last one on the contender, not a contender list, the Pistons. I don't know. They scare me, guys.
The thing is, I don't know who's shooting for them after Malik Beasley is going to go to federal prison.
Exactly. Oh,
did you guys see that video? Did you guys see that video someone posted
from the game?
Oh, yeah, from the game where
dude, his like Twitter follows are like FanDuel Sportsbook, and like it's crazy. Like the evidence is just all over his Twitter page. Oh my gosh.
Did you hear Terry Rozier got cleared today?
That's crazy, too.
I know, that's crazy, too. Because wasn't he guilty of sin as well?
I don't know. I didn't follow that. But I know it affected his season last year because he was garbage last year.
Yeah, and he shouldn't be. He's a decent player, you know?
Yeah. You know, what he's about garbage he's honestly garbage against everyone except the Cavs. So maybe the Cavs just sign him. True. Maybe decent half the year.
Yeah.
There you go. I like it.
What about the Sixers? They're done, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I got a serious but not serious question.
Okay.
Is there any trade with DG and PG that you would do?
Paul George? No.
Yes.
I'd do it. I'd do it. But we
now I gotta look at Paul George's contract.
We'd have to be getting back a lot picks. Of picks. Yeah. We'd have to be getting back picks. Or at least a couple.
That contract is freaking brutal. I don't think they can do it.
They'd have to get a boatload of picks back.
Yeah, they'd have to get a third team involved to get under the apron.
MPG like is definitely a better playoff performer, I would argue, than DG has ever been.
Playoff P?
Even playoff P. He'd be third string on our team. Third string, not the first string.
Who, Paul George?
Yeah.
He'd be a starter.
No, I know that, but I mean like third guy.
Third banana in the offense?
Yeah, third banana on the offense, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's honest, but you don't pay a third banana $50 million a year for the next 3 years. And last year his contract, which is a player option, he's 37. That's a tough pill to swallow. Like, I mean,
I don't know. Like, who would you prefer?
Do you want off DG that bad?
I would have preferred KD. No.
Oh, yeah. Well, we all would. Like, KD is like top 10 all-time NBA player.
Exactly.
You know, it's we would all prefer KD is the second best, maybe third best player. He's in the top 3 of the last 20 years with him and Steph and LeBron.
Yeah, that's why I'm really hacked off at is that we didn't get KD.
Oh, I think you have a right to be hacked off. Like, I would have made the trade without the extension.
I know. When you said that I don't. That's a ballsy statement there. But I might have to agree with you.
Well, worst comes to worst, you get Garland off your cap.
Yeah,
and then you've got the option
I didn't even think about that. Yeah,
and you're in position to stay under the second apron if it doesn't work in those 2 years.
Yeah, and if you do you've got other moves you can get under the second apron to do a sign and trade of Durant if he doesn't want to be here after the next year. Right?
Damn. Oh my God, I'm getting sick. This is bad news.
This is what I was talking about at the beginning of the podcast. The Cavs are playing it too safe.
This is bad news because you guys are making a lot of sense right now and it's freaking me out.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, any other? Well, did anything happen in the last half hour? Have the Cavs traded for LeBron yet? We have 50 minutes and counting.
Unfortunately, no.
No, you know what? So here's the thing is that this has been a very disappointing. Like, has the second apron killed free agency?
Oh, it absolutely has. It's a hard cap. I mean,
by the way, the Knicks have moved ahead of the Cavs as the favorites in the East now.
Yeah.
And there you go. Something did happen, actually. Dinwiddie is back in Dallas.
Are you serious? That's so great. Evergreen tweet.
Yeah, crypto bro in Texas.
There's the dumbest statement today. It was Mark Cuban saying, well, for all the grief he's gotten, Nico Mannion has got the Mavs in a really good spot right now. And I'm like, yeah, because they won the freaking lottery that he had nothing to do with, unless you believe in the conspiracy theories.
Miriam Adelson.
Yeah, well, sure. Yeah, I mean, but it's just Nico had nothing to do with this. Nico Harrison, not Nico Mannion. God, I'm the worst.
Nico Mannion
was like a guard for...
Yeah, that curly-haired Golden State Warriors guy. Yeah, he's like a white boy curly.
Oh, my Lord. That your memory's always the last thing to go.
Oh my God. That's probably the biggest, like, actually, you just given him more clout than he'll probably ever get for the rest of his career.
Nico Mannion or Nico Harrison or both?
Both of them. Both. Both. Yeah, actually, yeah. It's a toss up, actually. No, good point.
Oh my Lord, I'm so tired. Yeah, no, I just thought that was an idiotic statement by Mark Cuban. Like, anyway. Anything you guys want? Anything NBA related that we haven't touched on that you feel like we desperately need to touch on? Or Cavs related?
I do think the Cavs will end up with a free agency big. I think it might be Nance. Might be... I don't know who else.
God, Larry Nance in today's NBA, I just don't know if he has... the wheels. Yeah. I'd rather Boucher, but I think Boucher ends up back in Toronto, which is my guess, because he is Canadian.
I mean, I did throw out that trade in our group thread, but I did want to maybe talk about it a little bit more.
Which trade?
The Brandon Ingram deal.
Oh, you want Brandon Ingram for...
DG.
DG? Well, we got to look at their contract.
Do we get picks out of that?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Oh,
I think they make the exact... Actually, I take that back. That we can't... Darius makes just under him.
Just under or just over?
Just under, I think.
I don't think so. Now I got to see. Are you? Where are you looking? Hot Googling action here on Cavs the Podcast.
Never. No, he doesn't, actually. No, Darius makes more.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking. So that trade actually works. I don't think Cleveland would do that trade because they don't want to make Toronto better. I also think that Clutch would never want to work with the Cavs again, which Clutch's influence is waning anyway.
Yeah, I think Clutch is losing complete strength because once LeBron's gone, it's over.
Yeah.
You think so?
I don't think it's over. Really, I just don't think, like, it'll be what it was, right?
No, like, yeah. Clutch is actually ubiquitous. I don't know what you guys are talking about, but basically it's like Clutch is running the NBA alongside, I think, I want to say.
CAA.
Yeah, yeah. There's one other group. Or I don't know if it's CAA or...
It's whatever CAA is calling themselves now.
Okay. I want to say it was like Wasserman or
yeah, Wasserman Group. Yeah.
Yeah, Wasserman Group or... Yeah, it was like basically there's two... And Clutch is one of them. Yeah, it's like they're the two main agencies of the NBA.
Yeah, well, if you listen to...
Who does Bartlestein work for? Because that Sam Merrill. You got Sam Merrill paid. Let's go, baby. Shout out to Bartlestein.
Chris is in the room with the string and the yarn on the pins and connecting all the conspiracy theories.
That's right. Bartlestein. Shout out to Bartlestein. Yo. Shout out to the Bartlestein group and Sam Merrill.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, he did get Sam Merrill paid. Good for Sam Merrill. I will say, good for Sam Merrill. Like, for all this, I like, and my bitching about Ty Jerome, I like Sam Merrill, the player. Sam Merrill worked his butt off as he's the highest paid 60th draft pick in NBA history.
There you go.
As of today. So,
highest paid Mormon, too?
No. Keith Van Horn, I think.
That's Mitt Romney.
Oh, yeah.
No, in the NBA.
Second highest paid Mormon.
I don't know. Are there any other Mormon guys?
Oh, yeah. Jabari Parker probably got a fat contract.
Keith Van Horn was Mormon, wasn't he?
Probably. He played for University of Utah.
Yeah. I think Keith Van Horn's the highest paid Mormon.
There you go.
Danny Ainge.
Danny Ainge.
He didn't make that much money, though.
Yeah, but he's an executive now.
Oh, as an executive, yeah, he makes bank, but... Yeah.
Oh, Carl Malone, John Stockton.
Malone's not Mormons.
Yeah, idiot. That says
no. What? Where are you?
Carl Malone? Really?
Sean Bradley?
Where are you?
Yeah, Sean Bradley's Mormon because he played for BYU.
No, he's not. He was Mormon. He's dead now.
Is he dead?
Yeah, he died in a bicycle accident.
Oh my God! How do you? How the fuck do you hit it?
Never mind. Carl Malone is not a Mormon.
But he didn't die in a bicycle accident. He became paralyzed in a bicycle accident and then died later.
Oh my God, what is happening right now?
I don't know. The most random freaking end of a podcast ever. Oh my Lord. Sam Merrill, if you're out there, we sincerely apologize. Congratulations on your newfound wealth.
I mean, he already has a bunch of kids too, right?
Well, oh my God.
Eli.
He does. That's why you remember
is he pulling a Philip Rivers where he's got like a conversion van with like 12 children?
Is he like a Duggar?
I don't know.
He's a Mormon. They have a lot of kids.
Yeah, I know. Philip Rivers. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what is happening on this podcast right now. I think we're all a little punchy. But to answer your question, would I do Brandon Ingram for Darius Garland? I would think about it. What'd you say?
I think you have to, because I think Ingram does solve a couple of the problems. I mean,
what problems does he solve?
He's a better rebounder.
He's really not a great rebounder, dude.
He's decent.
He's DeAndre Hunter at twice the price. You already have that player.
Look at Chris back me up. But Ingram dribbles. He's an initiator.
That's true too. No, maybe he'd be a great six man. He'd be a great six man. Ideal.
I mean, so would Garland.
I know. Well, that was my idea before, but like, you know, ego. You know, who actually thinks that they'll move? Who thinks that Kenny has the balls to actually make that move?
Well,
I don't think anyone does, because you have
to pay the guys. Yeah, but the other thing is you can manage your rotation. So is he? He's effectively a six man. He's first to go to the bench. I mean, that's what the Cavs were doing last year. And he actually was a really good closer, which was weird, but they basically played him that way last year. It just, he got starters minutes, but the Cavs starters minutes weren't that high. The only, yeah, why are we getting into this? It's just, we're an hour and a half into this podcast. We're rehashing the same crap we talked about the last three podcasts. What? Get off my lawn.
Anyway. Groundhog Day.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, what do you guys got to pitch this week? Because this podcast is officially long in the tooth.
I'm pitching Masthead Brewing.
Masthead? Nice.
Yeah.
They got any new stuff out? I haven't had any of theirs in a while.
So I'm drinking right now. I'm having the jalapeno IPA.
Oh, is it jalapeno business?
Yeah, yeah. It is a World Beer Cup Silver Award winner for Chili nice. Beers in 2024.
Nice.
Right from downtown Cleveland, Ohio.
Nice.
And yeah, it's not overpowering. It's not an overpowering jalapeno flavor. So if you're expecting a real big bite, a spicy bite and overpowering jalapenos, it's not that. It's a hint.
Oh, see, I want more than a hint. So my favorite.
I know, me too. I was kind of disappointed.
You got to come up, Chris, because Habanero Haze from Big Lake Brewing in my town is one you will enjoy.
There we go. Yeah, I was expecting a little more, but I get it why you don't.
But I always liked Masthead. They've got a great coffee porter or coffee stout. I don't know. Anyway.
It's delicious. It's delicious. It is. I can tell you that.
Good. I'm excited to try it. Eli, what do you got to pitch?
I got to pitch the Cleveland Cavs organization. They're actually... No, let me tell you guys why. They invited me to...
Oh, now I see how it is.
Yes, they invited me...
Payola.
To do a locker room tour this week, so I'm going to go check
Whoa.
It out.
Whoa! Yo! Nice. You're going to be up in Cleveland, dog?
Yeah, but it's a quick trip. I'll let you know.
Your boy? Come on.
Are you working tomorrow?
Am I working tomorrow? I don't have to be. No, actually, I'm not working tomorrow.
Yeah, you guys can see.
I'll let you know. Yeah.
You guys can see where Damon, where.
Hey, if you come into town, if you stop by, I might make Bugolgi.
You can see where J.R. Smith threw the soup. You can see where Kevin Porter Jr. threw the hot dog. Like, I want to see all these moments. That's exciting stuff.
It's like a no camera event, unfortunately.
Well, you can just
they don't want you to take pictures of the scene of the crime.
Yeah, exactly. You know, take a courtroom sketch artist with you.
What's it called? They don't want you to take pictures of the players' lockers, is what I was told.
Oh, got it.
Because they keep personal items there throughout
the
year.
Makes sense. That's fair.
No,
But why isn't there a door with just their name on it?
Weird.
Come on.
Why do they keep personal items throughout the year?
They were in town. Did you hear, I don't know if you caught Donovan Mitchell's doing a podcast, but he said he stayed in town like right after the loss.
Yeah, no, that's the thing about this team. I love those guys. They're great. I want them to be better. I wanted the Cavs coaching staff to be better. They weren't ready for the moment. I want them to toughen up and be ready for the moment. You think? I hope they get there next year. That's really what they need to do more than anything, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
they're well positioned. Come on. You know, like they're 28, 29. You know, Donovan's 28, 29.
No, they are well positioned. They need another big.
Mobley's
23,
24.
They need to move Darius Garland for players that make more sense. And
defense is the call. They got to find some non-shitting defenders in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. So and they got
to. They found two with Struce and Merrill. Jared Allen, of course. That's why
Evan Mobley's got to grow up a little.
Yeah, he does too. Yeah. They got to feed him too. He was 40%. What drives me nuts, he was 40% in the playoffs from three on multiple attempts, but they just didn't feed him enough.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Yeah, you're 100% right. Like, there was not enough inside-out game.
That's how we beat OKC.
Yeah, that's, they have an advantage over every team in the East when they play that way. They just didn't do it. And that's why maybe you're right that Ty Jerome needed to go, because he was chucking instead of passing inside. So, I don't know.
Lauri Markkanen, bring him home. DG for Lauri, bring him home.
That's not going to. Although they did move Sexton to the Hornets.
Bingo!
So,
Danny Ainge, Hiram Boyd is
now a Charlotte Hornets fan.
That's crazy. That's a weird backcourt with Sexton and Ball.
But I can't wait for the Hiram tweets. Can you? Come on.
I think it works offensively. Oh, I don't even go on Twitter anymore. Like, is that guy still around?
Yeah, but he's been rejuvenated with this trade.
Has he? Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Man, you want to talk about just carrying an axe or, you know...
Carrying a flag till you die.
Yeah, like, I mean, ride or die on Colin Sexton. Now he's got the ball sex offense.
Loyal person,
ball sex backcourt.
Yeah, the most loyal person on earth, Hiram Boyd.
I stick with who brung you, I guess. Okay, I'm going to end this podcast with my pitch for the week. I'm going to pitch, oddly enough, the city of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, where I was just at for about 8 or 9 days. Went to a little music festival called Summerfest, which is a music festival in Milwaukee that takes place over 3 straight weekends. Awesome acts. I got to see James Taylor. I got to see Hozier. I got to see The Head and the Heart. I got to see my all-time favorite live band, the Avett Brothers. Got to see Young Gravy. Got to see... who else? Foghat. Got to see George Thorogood and the Destroyers. Just a lot. It's super fun. They've got like 10, 12 stages going on for, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday for 3 straight weekends. There's something for everybody. If you watch the secondary market, you can get in to see the headliners for like $15. I got in to see James Taylor for $15. You can... And it's really fun. And then the city of Milwaukee, just beautiful architecture. Definitely reminds me of Cleveland a lot of the old school turn of the century architecture. Just really hardworking people, great food. And then outside of Milwaukee, you got all the lakes and rivers and caught a Brewers game. That Brewers Stadium is wild. Probably one of the nicer domes I've ever been in. Well, the only dome I've been in for baseball, but from the inside, it looked a hell of a lot better than Tropicana Field. So still give me the Jake any day of the week, but it was a lot of fun. So I'm going to pitch Milwaukee and Eastern Wisconsin, Madison area I went to too. It was a lot of fun. So yeah, that's my pitch for the week.
Nate, I got to be honest. I'm surprised you would go to a thing to listen to Young Gravy. That doesn't seem like you're...
Well, to be fair, I have daughters that are younger than me. Who's the other guy I saw? Matthew Maltese, who's kind of like a Nora Jones.
Wait, so Burt Bacharach. Your daughters are keeping you hip, Nate? Is that what you're saying?
No, yet? No. I have an open mind, right?
Young Gravy of all people? That's pretty cool.
I enjoy music. I enjoy live music. I'll check out anybody who's willing to put on a show. Nate's Ara performance.
No. Nate's Ara farming. That's what he's doing.
Right, what does that even mean? I like literally went because my daughters were going and I wanted to hang out with them.
Ara farm, man. That's
I don't weird. Know what that means.
Best you don't.
So dumb. Anyway, now I got, you jerk, now I got to look up what Ara farming is and respond in real time. Hot Googling action. What is Ara farming? The act of cultivating a desired aura or persona, often in social media or online context, to project a certain image or impression. That is definitely me.
Gotcha.
So full of shit. No, I... And to be fair, Young Gravy, the audience was really gropey, and so my daughters did not stay. So we went next door to Matthew Maltese.
Wow, you just turned it into a police report. Jesus Christ.
What do you want from me? I just call balls and strikes.
Young Gravy, okay. I guess they're on a federal watch list.
No, not the band, just the audience was a lot of creepy dudes, creepy young guys. So, and then Matthew Maltese was much more benign. It was, yeah. Anyway, anything else to give me shit about, Chris?
Just now I know Milwaukee's a bunch of gropers.
No, just the Young Gravy fans.
Because the Young Gravy,
everywhere else was fine. Just the Young Gravy mosh pit was it was a little touchy. So, oh, and I didn't get to see Devo. That was my one. So Devo was playing the same time as the Avett Brothers, who is my family's all-time favorite band. Devo was on the whole other side of the complex, and I got to see him got to see Akron's own Mark Mothersbaugh setting up, Kent State alumni, but unfortunately I didn't get to see him, so I think I'm going to go see him in Detroit area in September. So they're a bucket list band for me just because of the Akron connection. So
beautiful.
Yeah, that's what I thought you had to say, Chris. Okay. Any parting shots?
Go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Summer League. Summer League's coming up.
Let's go. July 10th, baby.
July 10th.
Tyler Proctor, go Duke. The Brotherhood. Hashtag
the Brotherhood.
Hashtag the Brotherhood. Eli stinks. Wake Forest.
Jake LaRavia sucks.
No, I go like Cavs. Him, I like him. I like him, though.
Go Cavs.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite blogger.
And we're out.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.